Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to episode number 247 of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. Today, we are talking to Fred Chidimba of East Vantage, which is an outsourcing supplier here in the Philippines. Fred is a seasoned professional in the corporate life and then moved into outsourcing, which we're going to hear the full story and, of course, dive deep into his executive experience in outsourcing and also the business world. And there's a lot of value here for people that are outsourcing, people that are considering outsourcing, and everything in between. So I hope you enjoy. If you want any of the show notes, of course, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/247. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I am joined by Fred Chidimba of East Vantage. East Vantage is in BGC here in Manila in the Philippines, and is an outsourcing supplier that does the full spectrum of services. And I want to get Fred into a conversation about, you know, how they differ from the other outsourcing suppliers, and also his personal journey, and you know, how these outsourcing suppliers can really help enhance people's own businesses and their business journey. So, hi Fred, how are you? And thanks for your time.
Hi Derek, glad to be here with you.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. And so, I suppose Fred, you know, we're you're French. If people can't pick up the accent, and I'm Australian. I like to start this just by really asking you to share your own personal journey and what brought you here to the Philippines, because I imagine a few years ago you probably didn't expect to be sitting in Manila, Philippines.
Yes indeed Derek. So when I arrived here with my my wife and two kids, we planned on being here like for 2 years only. We speak French, we come from Brussels, from Belgium, and we originally thought like, okay, so after 10 years in working for blue chips companies, I was thinking, as a marketeer, I was thinking maybe like it's time for me to open up to sales and to go a little bit more like in the eastern countries, and I wanted to discover Asia. And so we took this 2 years assignment. I came as a trailing spouse, so I said to my wife, I'll resign from my my company. So we had like a two cars, two kids,
right,
and two houses,
the
and
whole
we started.
Package.
And I said to my wife, like, maybe now it's time to get in the risky zone again and try to challenge ourselves. Otherwise, we'll just end up like a potato couch. And so that's why, like, we came here for 2 years, and we're still here like 10 years after. So probably something was really more exciting here in this region.
Wow, incredible. And then, so with your corporate background, and that was more of a marketing angle, wasn't it? You sort of seized or saw the whole BPO and outsourcing thing happening. What was it about this industry and sector that caught your attention, and so much so that you got into it yourself?
So yeah, it's interesting because my friends and my business partner got me into this actually, rather than I decided for going for the BPO. While being here, like my former agencies, I was a marketeer, so I was in contact with digital agencies. They told me, Fred, you're in the Philippines. Don't you have any PHP developer or any WordPress or any graphic designer? You're in Manila. This is the mecca of outsourcing. I said, I don't know. I'll look around. And then it kept coming because I was like, for the first 2 to 3 years, I was in a digital agency here in Manila, starting to work with local companies, but like with a French global group. And they kept on asking me about this. And then eventually my business partner told me, back then it was just a friend, and he told me like, look, I have a client that wants to start now. Probably it's time for us to evaluate like if we want to venture into outsourcing, because like there's so many requests. We're talking about like back in 2009 and now 2010, and then we evaluated, and then we launched East Vantage in end of 2010, yeah, eventually like it's still growing today from this original idea.
Wow, it's incredible, isn't it? And The industry is about 25 years old, but I think there's really been an inflection point about 10, 15 years ago, and the growth has just been incredible. And you certainly see it in the economy here. It's been growing year on year at 6%. You see it in the cities here because there's just new skyscrapers appearing almost every week. What have you seen the transition for the country in the last 10 years and specifically in the outsourcing industry? Is it just more of the same or is it increasing in sophistication and delivery models? How have you seen the industry change over the last 10 years?
Yeah, I believe the industry has gotten dramatically more sophisticated than it used to be. Like when we started, we were pretty lucky because we were like really tinkering and trying to adapt the kind of services that we were offering to whatever was the client asking us. So I must say there was more like craftsmanship in the origin in the first days, and over the last 10 years, what we've seen is like increasing sophistication in the service that are provided, increasing compliance as well, the turnaround time for any kind of service that you're delivering as well, and some pressure on the cost as well. So all these things brought us to, let's say, like what was a blue ocean to a red sea today. Yeah, we're grateful for being in the business for close to 9 years already, because we have all these economies of scales and all these learning curves that we could climb up already. I think today it's much more difficult to open a shop and start from scratch, while a lot of vendors really have to show different competencies today that are much more evolved than 10 years ago. So the whole industry as a whole is still very competitive, still very attractive, but it requires even more, let's say, like more solid foundations now, like to have like a good BPO that could deliver for you.
Yeah, the sort of technical requirements of running a good operation are rising all the time, really, aren't they? And it's I suppose there's kind of higher barriers to entry all the time, and people are expecting more and more. In terms of, I think we're very aligned in terms of reaching out to the West. All of us want to try and get as many people outsourcing as possible. And you're from Belgium, a little bit different. There's obviously a language barrier there. Where are the majority of your clients from? Is it from Europe generally, or?
So there, we started mostly with clients from Europe, where we have contacts and we got the first request from. But eventually, very fast, it grew into Asia Pacific. We have like as many clients in Asia Pacific today than in Europe. And but then the first source for our market is still the US. So astonishingly, even with our French accent and everything. So we get a we're very specialized as well in some kind of startups. The Silicon Valley startup are coming to us a lot, and some entrepreneurs as well from Australia and Europe find the right mix with us, which is entrepreneurship. We have like tailor-fitted solutions, and we have a very strong operations layer. So it's not only about like having great location, which we have like when in BGC, like in the latest business district, and then adding to this like outstanding staff and having a good recruitment process. It comes as well with an operations layer where our own business partners are going to manage your team and make sure that the integration within the client's onshore operation are very smooth, and that eventually like we work with the same kind of tools and the same KPIs than the onshore team. So this is really what makes it very specific and special, like to work with this Vantage.
Right. And what is the key to outsourcing? Because there's still so many small and medium-sized businesses out there that are maybe interested, intrigued, or maybe a little bit kind of worried about all the changes to employment. How would you sort of summarize outsourcing for someone that is a really a little bit green? And then also, How do you make it work for people so that it's not quite so scary, not quite so big?
So I believe like every one of us, like we do outsource a lot of our tasks today, like on day-to-day business or day-to-day, everyday of our life. So this is, first, we shouldn't be scared. Like when I asked to my son to bring his daughter to I don't know, to the counter and let her order the ice cream that she wants, eventually I'm outsourcing a task that I could have done myself. So so first of all, like outsourcing, like it's a big word, but like I would say we just call it a growth management, or let's say like sometimes we say like insourcing or sourcing anyway. So it can happen to everyone, and it can be done very easily. That's the first thing. Second is when you want to start with some task that you want to eventually delegate to someone, first of all, you have to look that you have a delegation model in place. So if you have never done this as an entrepreneur, it's going to be more difficult. But if you have already, like, let's say, an assistant or someone in your team or a developer or someone who's not the job, for instance, to answer tickets, let's say, from your portal because you became more successful and some of the developers are starting to answer some tickets and the receptionist and some people from the marketing. So this is already, like, you have a delegation model in place. You realize that these people have to log in a couple of hours on Zendesk to answer to consumers. This is already a good sign. So the model is in place. Then the next thing is to be ready to give this away to some people who's really it's the profession that's going to professionalize and make it even better than you. Probably we're going to answer these tickets or these chat inquiries like better than your developers because we're going to be less assertive or we're going to be more open to consumers' complaints. And then the last thing is to eventually let it to people that are that have experience with this and that would even like innovate and bring the right support. So we have as well like people that are expert in their fields, whether it's like software development or maintenance or chat and ticket support. It's really it's really where you can start to have like the first success. So delegation model in place, and then having eventually like the right team to deal with the right tasks.
Yeah, and you know, there's a big stigma I think about the outsourcing industry that it's call centers and only really applies to like the Fortune 500 with hundreds of people in the back office. But you mentioned Silicon Valley, you mentioned startups, you mentioned tech. What are common roles now that you see outsourcing, and you know, who are the sort of ideal candidates to start this outsourcing?
So anyone that needs a developer's team, let's say like you need like two front end, let's say like with AngularJS, one or two developers in Python and one QA. Pretty much like everyone needs this, and you have a team that is really innovating. You have you've launched your you've launched your beta version. You've launched then your first market version, and then eventually you want to keep on growing fast in R&D and innovating in new modules. But eventually you need to maintain the existing modules. This is the first thing you can outsource to us. We would have a team of developers that would work with you, integrating with our Scrum Master, and we will be able eventually to be assigned like the right user stories and develop some things for you. That's one example in development. Another thing that we do is like you have let's say your e-commerce shop, and then you're getting too many inquiries. I've mentioned it already, like CRM, we do that as well, like chat support, email support. And then we don't do voice, not too much, like only on demand, but we're really expert into non-voice. And then the last thing is what we see is like people then, our clients, they deal with a lot of payables, receivables, and then there's some HR and payroll, or whether it's like general HR as well, inquiries. We can deal with this as well, which is the normal business support that we can provide to our clients. So this is for every company, I must say, that has like more than 20 employees or and that is now evaluating to keep on growing on a flexible and variable way. So eventually this is the best way for them to have a team doing one of these things with us. It's pretty much open to everyone, and it's easy, and eventually it doesn't it keeps your capital available for other investments you want to do.
And you know, coming back to the sort of, because I can talk very technical and deep with people, but then it quite often, like with prospects and clients, but it quite often comes back to the simple things like, you know, the delineation of tasks and who manages the staffing. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that, you know, comes to, as you were saying before, like the service offerings, you have fully managed services, and then you have staff extension services. And can you maybe explain for people that aren't as familiar the basic things, like how are they dedicated staffing? How do they know that they're working when they're in another country and they're not sitting beside them? And then who manages the management of things?
That's very important. The first thing the first key criteria in outsourcing is having a good communication. So that's why we have the EVOX system, which is like our integrated operations support system, where we have everything that's related to your team. So every team logs in with like we have the biometrics, we have the attendance, we have the leaves, and then we have like the performance indicators in EVOX. That's our central operation system. So this information is available to the team leaders and to our clients. Now, when it comes to starting up, there's two questions you want to ask. Do you want a desired outcome, or do you want eventually to be hands-on and really like know the name of the people you're working with, and you're going to give them their task on a daily basis? If you want a desired outcome, then eventually you're going to be ready for managed services, where we're going to eventually design with you a solution where we're going to identify KPIs with you, where we're going to say this is the dashboard that you're going to look at every week or every day if you want, and this is the kind of result that you're going to get. If you say like I don't know, email campaign, you're going to get open rate, click-through rate. If you look at chat, you're going to have like as well like answer time, turnaround time, and all these kind of things. So we're going to look at this and customer satisfaction, of course, and then we're going to look at this dashboard. This is desired outcome. Or if you go to development, it's going to be like the defect rates and these kind of things. So I can go on with examples. So desired outcome is on the one hand, and this is managed services. You say, Fred, please take a team and this is what you're going to do, and I'm paying you so many per hour for doing this. The other one, which is more usually preferred by people in Europe and in Australia, let's say like you have a clear idea of what you want to do, you have your own team already, but you want to outsource a non-core task to a specialist like us, and you come to us and you say, okay, EatsVantage, can you please find me a team, as I mentioned, of five people or something like this, or three people that will deal with our chat support, that will deal with our customer support or vendor support, or even with our software maintenance and or answering on Zendesk the question that they have. And then you will have like a team that you would identify, that we would recruit for you, that you would know, and that would have like where we would manage their performance, their attendance, and the adherence to your processes, but eventually you would have the last word on, let's say, like the tasks that are endorsed to them, and we would review this with a team lead that would be here offshore and that would liaise every day with your onshore team leader or project manager. So this is two different way, or desired outcome, or than like having an integrated team, a staff extension.
Right. And people can switch between models, and also, you know, this isn't for a Fortune 500 company with 200 people and sitting in a room. These are flexible models, and you can start with small teams,
Yeah, indeed. Like we started with teams as small as two people, And usually, like we have to start in staff extension for some to get to a desired outcome when it's really more complex. Mm-hmm. While for some, let's say, like more straightforward operations, we can start right away with the managed services. For some, we would start require 6 months in staff extension. Let's say if we have a difficult product management or product development, then we would. Still, like, start from one model and evolve and graduate to the next one that is more evolved. But you can always, like, move from one to the other. You can eventually evolve. You can add more verticals. You can blend. So this is the beauty with us. Like, eventually, like, we shape your own solution. We have, like, 40 different clients, 550 people. And eventually, we're always happy to shape the solution to the clients, and we have a very tailor-made approach to it.
Right. And what are some of the because outsourcing is different to standard management, isn't it? There's nuances, there's different considerations, and as you said earlier on, there's also the fact that you need to learn how to delegate. You need to build processes and process mapping, and also get that information out of your head into the head of the team and the people. What are some of the sort of, I suppose, tips or surefire advice that you have learned over the years to get people that are beginning outsourcing to get those quick wins early so that they're not mm-hmm. frustrated?
Yes. So usually, like, we look at. So it's important to be able to delegate. If you're good at delegation, it's always easier. Having someone organized and dedicated, like, that can allocate 15% of his or her time to this, to the supervision of the team, to get into a Skype call every day or stand-up call every day with the team leader is essential. We've seen, like, so many CEOs that says, oh, I want to do that, I want to outsource that, I want to delegate that, but then eventually the time for them to explain, like, or structure the task, the framework, so that we can know where, like, how to manage, I don't know, like, these specific tasks is something that they've underestimated. So first, learn to delegate. Second, have someone that will be doing like the follow-up at least, like, 2 afternoons a week, or like the equivalent, or a couple of hours, like 1 hour per day, or these kind of things. Mm. Very important. And then the last thing is, and it's a little bit funny, but like the fact that you have experience with this already, like some experience at least with outsourcing. And again, it can be that you have someone that you delegated to. It can be a local vendor. It can be someone that has done that for you, so that you have at least some metrics in mind to gauge, like, the reliability and the productivity of your own vendor. So this is really important, and these are the three things that we check upon. And these are, like, so this is how we avoid pitfalls with clients. Mm-hmm. But of course, like, we're always, for us, like, we do a long discovery. We take our time as well to prepare the transition with our clients. There's a lot of clients that usually that I would say, like, a usual discovery would take like 2 to 3 months, not ongoing always, but like let's say, like, in and out, discussing these kind of things. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, we're it's a journey. It's but it's something that everyone will get to outsource some task at a time now. Like, in any kind of businesses, we see more and more small and medium enterprises in the Western world and Asia Pacific. This is the best way to stay flexible, and this is variable cost. Yeah. We're just like, this is just OPEX. Like, so we're talking about variable cost. We have, like, no exit fee. We're very flexible as well. So this is probably the best way to have growth. And sometimes we work with seasonalities, let's say, like Mother's Day or Christmas, and we beef up the teams, like, for our clients for these specific periods, and we can absorb and expand all these different elements. So it's very flexible.
Yeah, it's incredible. And in terms of the ramp-up times, you mentioned the discovery phase was 2 to 3 months. Is that how long it takes to set up teams, or you have the team there and then that is the process of refining and setting out the processing?
The onboarding takes usually like 30 days, but what I'm talking about is like, yeah, the discovery is like with the senior management and so discussing with our clients on how they want to do it, visiting sometime the Philippines, seeing several vendors. This is like a process that we invite clients and people to come and tour and visit some vendors, having an opinion. And usually with us, like the more people see different vendors, the highest the chances that they would choose us. And we know this because we eventually we're providing like premium services and we're providing like operational excellence. So if you haven't compared, like you probably won't see like how big is how big is the range of services that you can get from different vendors. And that's why we like to partner with Outsource Accelerator to be eventually in this big marketplace where different people would compare and look and find the right vendor for them.
Yeah, it is a big marketplace now, isn't it? And there is so many different ways of basically kind of presenting the same thing, I suppose. So there's a lot of noise, and as you say, it's really like the fundamentals are important. And yeah, just kind of focusing people on that, I think. And in terms of like the different structures, then you've got two main core structures. For people that really don't know anything about outsourcing and how is outsourcing priced, can you give us an indication of how much the whole thing costs?
So when we speak about like outcome based, then it's a very straightforward forward model where we speak in US dollar per hour, and it can range from, it depends on the kind of profile that you have, but like for us, like anything between $6 to can go even as high as for a supervisor, $12 per hour. This is for outcome based kind of task, and we would just manage the whole process for you. When it comes to seat leasing, we have like more like a fee that we add to the total employment cost. This is pretty much like the industry standard, and depending on the kind of team that you need, you will and the shift, you would get anywhere between 475 to $650 USD per employee, and then you would have like the total employment cost that would be passed through, and then the service fee that we would charge you for the staff extension. And all these things, they eventually include already like the onboarding cost, the startup cost, even the exit fees and these kind of things. We want to have a very transparent model where you know exactly how much you would be paying from the beginning. And it's our role to keep you happy. So our clients, we have a happiness model in place. So if clients aren't happy, there's no lock-in period and these kind of things. There's no straightforward contracts. So there's a contract, but there's not lock-in contracts. So they can get out like anytime, just giving us 3 months notice because it's our role to keep our clients happy. So today with this, we have like 3% churn within our client base, so it's very low, and we
Wow.
want to keep it this way.
And it is incredible, isn't it? I mean, you mentioned the $6 to $12, and that is an all-in price. And I think that is worth repeating because people might compare that to a base salary in the US, and they don't sort of look at the whole picture of employment
Exactly, yeah.
costs. There's a lot of on-top
And the CapEx.
costs, there's office costs, there's CapEx. Employment is very expensive, yeah, and when you get an all-in price, it really is hugely competitive if you kind of add everything up. And of course, then you're not only getting the staffing and the job done, but you're getting your executive experience and the kind of process mapping and the strategy behind it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we offer, like scaling up for companies. So we talk to entrepreneurs, we're entrepreneurs ourselves. So people that want to scale up, they've had their first success with their first product and services. They want to scale up fast. So don't get into I don't know, buying an expensive warehouse and these kind of things. Like you can stay pretty lean with a good team, like core team, and then eventually like endorsing some of your tasks to us. And it's going to save you on the rent, on the mortgage, on any kind of thing that you might do, aircon and utilities, not to mention like all the different packages that you need to find for keeping your employees happy, mobile phones and cars and all these kind of things. So while, yes, indeed, like the $6 to $12, we're talking about that all-in price, which is the cost, it's helping you to stay free from all these big worries and scaling up and down very fast, depending on the season that you have and the success that you're encountering in different markets.
Yeah, it's incredible, huh? I'm just so excited about outsourcing, the potential, and also what it can do in transforming people's businesses. And I think it's just, you know, people are slowly becoming aware of outsourcing. They're slowly seeing some of their other business friends explore and try it. A lot of them are aware of Upwork and Freelancer. But, you know, it's just really getting them to go a little bit further and try real professionalized outsourcing. And then it can just absolutely transform businesses, can't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And so that's the thing, like the message to people that listen to us, like if you're tired of Upwork, people that don't show up, that run away with half of your money without doing anything, or if you cannot sleep at night because you signed this big contract that's 24/7 and you need to cover for APAC and you don't have anyone there, or you've been like as well like usually growing so fast that you have like SLAs that you realize that you cannot keep on support like with the existing team because they're working like already like three shifts or these kind of things, this is the moment to outsource. All the parameters are there to tell you that it's time to outsource, and there are very professional vendors like in the Philippines that are ready to onboard your next team and help you grow faster and on a lean way.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? And it's just to take that first step, and it's not as scary as people think. It's no different to just standard employment, and it's just kind of getting them to take that step, and then it's almost like it becomes compulsive, doesn't it? People are just so excited to build their teams and to bring more things over.
Yes, indeed. Like we have that's how we grew. We started with like newsletter, email management, and then we had developers, and then we did like accounting, and eventually, like as we grew, we had to start organizing the verticals, and eventually, really like stay in software development and CRM and business support. But like so there's so many things you can do remotely. And depending on the different vendors that you would work with, you would see that the whole range of the different businesses are covered from the Philippines. Like there's 1.5 million people that work in this industry. Mm-hmm. We're the largest, we're here in the largest outsourcing city of the world. Like so with the largest English-speaking talent pool. So this is the sweet spot here, like to have your team and to start outsourcing.
Yeah, it's incredible, huh? And it really is, you know, it's not just back office. There's highly, highly qualified, highly motivated, highly skilled people here now. It's an incredible opportunity, isn't it? But so thank you so much. And I didn't really properly introduce you when we started, but you are the Chief Inspiration Officer of Isvantage. I've certainly been inspired talking to you. So thank you so much. And if people want to get in touch or want to learn more about Isvantage, how can they do that?
So Google us, like isvantage.com, and then you will have the opportunity to see some videos or some of the case studies that we have done in the past. So thank you very much, Derek, for having us today. It was exciting, and I hope that more people will enjoy now, like outsourcing to the Philippines, thanks to this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Fred. That was Fred Chidimba of Isvantage. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/247. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.